For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Friday, everybody. TGIF here on Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester, and we are coming to you live on KFH for the next couple hours here, getting you ready for what we'd say is a big weekend, but the weekend starts today. Two college football games of interest to us, maybe one of the biggest college football games, if not the biggest college football game of the week as far as two ranked teams and all that goes tonight. But we think we'll get a couple of really good games. KU, K-State both in action. We'll get into that throughout the show. We will get you ready for a Chiefs-Bengals showdown. All kinds of good stuff today. We'll make our picks. TJ Cleland going to join us in the second hour, as well as Paul Savage. We have Brandon Zinner's picks. He won't be in today, but we have his picks. Jad has the receipts. That'll be fun in the second hour. TJ will also help us get primed up for a Catch at Kansas Friday, a premier matchup tonight in the City League. All kinds of good stuff coming for you today. We want you to participate. You can call us on the IHOP hotline at 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP and the All You Can Eat Pancakes deal, which goes through September 15th. You can also get in touch with the show through our video streams, which you'll find on 12 News Connected, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can leave us your messages there that we can get to. And as we've seen the last couple of days, you can leave us voice messages. There is a feature on the Odyssey app, if you're listening there, where you can push a little microphone, you leave a message, it goes right to Jad, and Jad can feed it to us here on the air. We will give away some HTO today as well. We have all kinds of good stuff in store for you. I'm Jacob Albrecht alongside Tommy Kester. Tommy, how are you?
I'm good. Good to have you back this morning. Missed you on the show yesterday, but we had a good time. Paul and I, it was a busy show. PJ Glasser.
Did I miss any good bets and he can't miss?
You know, honestly, PJ is so spot on. I mean, he's got, you know, so many just incredible angles for Thursday Night Football. You know, I'm pretty sure if memory serves, he was pretty high on the Bills last night. And I was high on the Dolphins. I mean, I kind of challenged him on that. Yeah. But he was pretty high on the Bills overall. And so, yeah, I know we covered games this weekend. We covered KU and K-State tonight. So I would encourage anybody to go back and listen on the Odyssey app or watch our archive video on YouTube to get his angles for the games tonight and all the games this weekend.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting. Because I liked Buffalo a lot last night. I know I wasn't here yesterday. I forgot to place my bets. I had to drive back and forth to Texas. And so my wife has an account. She'll occasionally dabble just for fun. And I called her and I said, hey, we took Buffalo and we took James Cook on a first touchdown score. I am on a heater with primetime first touchdown scores. I think I'm 3 for 3 in the last three. But I liked Buffalo in that game. And we'll start there, certainly, because it's a massive game of implications in the AFC as it pertains to the Chiefs. I've told you all offseason, Tommy, I think people are sleeping on the Bills, and I can't quite figure out why. I know they lost a couple of receivers, but they still have a really good defense. They still have Josh Allen. And what I think people are not giving them enough credit for is what we saw last night. James Cook was a revelation last year, and their run game with Allen and Cook is something that's going to be a problem for other teams the way they play defense. And that's what we've seen through two games now. Now, they almost lost to the Cardinals, and I liked the Cardinals to cover their number in that game, but that's the Josh Allen effect. And that's also something people are sleeping on. Let's not forget what kind of quarterback he is. Miami, to me, has felt like the pretender. They're, investing heavy at receiver is just not the formula that's proving to work in the NFL. It's just not. Look at who's made the big commitments to wide receivers recently. Think about all of them, right? It's not the path. And so for Miami to invest all that money there, and look, the Tua injury, which we'll get to, is horrible. They weren't winning that game with Tua under center. I think Miami, like, that's why Buffalo was my pick for the division. Who did you pick? I don't even remember who you picked for the division.
I picked Miami to pick to win.
Well,
the division.
And I need an asterisk now, of course, with this injury. Yeah. But yeah, I just think people have slept on Buffalo. I really do. And I've thought that. And I know they stumbled against Arizona. I don't think Buffalo's as good as they were. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think they're like mediocre. I still think they're one of the top teams. And they flexed a little bit last night. No surprise. He's owned Miami over his career, and I think he's 13-1 against the Dolphins over his career. But Buffalo's still in the mix, Tommy. I think in the AFC, they're not as good as they were, but they could sort of redefine themselves before we get to postseason games in cold weather with that run game and still be a major factor in the AFC.
I think the biggest thing that Buffalo did last night that allowed them to win in by the margin that they did was they controlled the tempo. Yep. They basically rode James Cook and, you know, kept the ball and had possession for a long time. And that's counter to what Miami is built, the way that they're built, the way that they want to play football. I mean, it's high flying. It's you've got speed and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. You've got, you know, some pretty, you know, I know Raheem Mostert didn't play last night, but, you know, Devon Achain, and, you know, they've just got the dynamic weapons offensively, the skill position players that they want to play fast. They want to, you know, not keep the ball, not hold on to the ball for a long time. They want to try to get it back quickly and go down and score again. And Buffalo was like, nope, we're just going to hold on to the ball. We're going to keep possession. We're going to ride James Cook. And, you know, we're going to keep the ball out of your hands. And that's really, I think, in my mind, not only the reason why Buffalo won, but why a large reason why they won by the margin that they did.
Buffalo will need to redefine itself. There's no question. Do you still consider Josh Allen the second best quarterback in football? We know Mahomes is at the top. Is it Allen next for you?
He's close. He's top three. I mean, he's close.
Yeah, I think it is. Wherever you put him, he's in that class.
I'd probably put him at three right now. But I don't even know if Joe Burrow is number two.
Well, you know, Joe Burrow might be hurt right now. Yeah. I don't know what to think about Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
So Josh Allen is that class though, right? Like, he's in that stratosphere. He's healthy and he's got a really good defense and he's got a really good run game. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like, to me, the Chiefs of last year. No receivers yet, although I think they're more talented at receiver than the Chiefs were last year. A couple of good tight ends. Like, they're very much, to me, looking like what we saw out of the Chiefs last year. They're not going to, and I know they blew out the Dolphins last night, but they're probably not going to blow a lot of teams out. They're probably going to play a lot of close games. And so then you lean in and know that they'll have a good defense and they'll have Josh Allen. Buffalo's going to win a lot of games this year. And they're 2-0 now against two good teams. But it's like, just don't sleep on Buffalo. Like, if Buffalo and Baltimore, because I think Baltimore is two right now, probably, and we got to see them play. But if they played 10 times, Buffalo's winning four or five of those games. If they played the Chiefs, they're winning three or four of those games. Like, they're still a really good team, I think. And I just think people have slept on them, and this will be a real good opportunity for Josh Allen to not leave any doubters this year. They'll look different than they have, but so did the Chiefs last year. The Chiefs have looked five different ways in this current little dynasty they're in. They redefine themselves better than any team every year, which they'll do it again this year. And so Buffalo's, with Josh Allen at quarterback, totally capable of doing the same thing.
Yeah, I've been skeptical about the Bills this season, you know, going into the year. Of course, I didn't pick them to win the division.
The roster turnover, I get it.
A lot of roster turnover, and it was, you know, the downgrade in wide receiver for sure. It was also turnover defensively, and I did think that they would be an improved defense this year just because you were kind of moving away from a lot of the older players that made up that defensive unit. I think last year they were one of, if not the oldest defense in the NFL. Some pretty decent named big name players on that roster a year ago, but a handful of them kind of passed their prime. So I was kind of skeptical about this season for the Bills. I thought, okay, like this year will be kind of a rebuilding year a little bit, or a retooling year, and then after this year, they should be back to where they need to be. My concern going into the year was, as much as I have always liked Josh Allen's arm strength and, you know, just his athleticism and all of that, what he brings, I mean, he's got some of the top attributes in the league. He has been prone to turnovers. You know, he's kind of that gunslinger guy. He kind of reminds a lot of people, and we've heard this comparison for a long time, of Josh Allen and Brett Favre to an extent. You know, just will turn the ball over. He'll make some bad decisions. And that was with some really good receivers on that team. That was with Steph Diggs. That was with Gabe Davis. And so I thought, you know what, if those guys aren't there anymore and you are essentially replacing them with Khalil Shakir and, you know, Keon Coleman, who I think is really talented, but obviously really young, and they brought in Marquez Valdez-Scantling, right? Like they didn't have the same kind of offensive weapons outside of James Cook this year as compared to last year. So I was concerned about the turnover propensity from Josh Allen being even worse this year because he didn't have those top level receivers.
But then they did the other things to supplement. They brought in Curtis Samuel. They have a good tight end. I think they have far more pass catching weapons than the Chiefs did a year ago. Deeper, not at the top end, but deeper. And I just think they have a really good run game. They also took Ray Davis. I think they're going to run the ball a lot between those guys and Josh Allen. And if they can play really good defense, because they didn't even have 250 yards of offense last night, Tommy. I'm telling you, it's going to feel a little like the Chiefs last year. That's what it will feel like with the Bills this year. You just play good defense, you try to control the ball, and you let Josh Allen make the plays he's capable of making. And it will probably take them a little time. They'll lose games where we're like, what on earth? And they'll lose to bad teams. They'll do a lot of the same things we saw out of the Chiefs last year. But the formula, if they take it, that they appear to have, is advantageous to winning playoff football games. And remember, it wasn't Josh Allen's fault that Mahomes drove down and scored a couple of times in that overtime playoff game. Josh Allen led the drive the other way, right? It hasn't been Josh Allen always letting them down in the postseason. So we'll see, but don't sleep on Buffalo. And then on the other side, Tommy, is Miami, who has to be considered a contender. Back then, we're getting some pretty bad reviews on the Tua concussion today. The hand thing happened. I don't know why. I feel bad because he just can't try to make those plays anymore. And I wonder what that means to his long-term career, but I don't think he's back anytime soon for this. We'll watch Skylar Thompson for now, of course, the K-State quarterback, but Miami is not going to be a contender without Tua. I don't think they were with Tua. It's a really, really sad story to see it happen, but it keeps happening. And this will be an interesting case study, I guess. We've seen players step away. Now, he just signed a big contract, but we've seen players step away because of this. I don't know what the league does not like this, certainly. I don't look at this, Tommy, as some like wider ranging thing. Tua just continues to like that was he put himself in that position last night, which a football player would. I would if I was a football player, but he can't be put in that position. And he's not clearly able to take that part of his game away. So I don't know what you do here. It's really sad because I think we all like Tua. We all want to see Tua do well, but we don't want to see his hand go up again because he has another clear concussion. I mean, it's terrifying.
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me, there have been several players over the last 10 years or maybe even further back that have been forced to retire due to repeated concussions. Like, you know, probably
Troy Aikman,
one of the recently, at least in the last five, you know, plus years that comes to mind is Luke Kuechly, you know, retired because of his repeated concussions that he had. So some prominent names that have retired due to multiple concussions. You feel terrible for Tua. Where I land on this, first off, I don't think that he should play another game. I think he has to be done at this point. just because it, you know, you've seen this happen multiple times, and you know he was able to get through last season without any issues. But we're in week two, you know, it's come up again. You know, you don't want to see that, and you start thinking about, okay, what's the longevity, the long term future for him if he continues to play football. You know, I can't speak for him. I'm not in his shoes, but if it were me, I would probably be like, look, I can't do this. I'm done. That's me. So again, I can't speak for Tua. I just know how I would react in that situation.
Yeah. That's what I don't want to do. I don't want to tell Tua what to do. If he's comfortable with the risk, I'm comfortable with him taking the risk. You know what I mean? Like, it's his decision to make. The interesting wrinkle to it is what's at stake for the league. When this happens, I think we are in a better place with football than we were 4 or 5 years ago when the head injuries were being swept under the rug to some degree and all the things that were happening. I don't think we're there anymore. And I'm comfortable with that place. We all get to make decisions in life. We all get to take risks in life. There are lots of risky jobs out there. These players choose to take the risk because they love it. It's their passion. There's a whole lot of money involved in it. But if you're the league, you also know that the optics are important because the greatest threat to the league is that people don't play football anymore. So I don't know if they have a role in this decision. I don't know on that. That's hard. Yeah. But for Tua's sake, Tua can make whatever decision he wants to make. And I'm comfortable with that as long as he's comfortable with it, because it's his risk to take, not ours.
On top of that, I want to talk about the Dolphins briefly. And this is not a knock on Skylar Thompson. I have a lot of respect for Skylar Thompson. But, you know, I think that's the Dolphins have done a terrible job of protecting Tua. And I'm not talking about Tua's health. They've done a terrible job of protecting that offense, because if I'm the general manager, if I'm Mike McDaniel, going all the way back to 2022, I'm like, look, Tua's got a high risk of concussions. We need a contingency plan. We need to have, you know, maybe a more high profile backup quarterback, you know, just in case something happens with Tua and he's done or he's out for the year, you know, or whatever happens. I mean, he's got a propensity for concussions. So it's nothing against Skylar Thompson. I just think that they probably should have had somebody else on the depth chart, because right now it's Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle. That's who they have on the depth chart. I don't think, if I'm a Dolphins fan, I'm not comfortable riding Skylar Thompson for the remainder of the season. I think they'll probably go to free agency or they'll make a trade or something. They could reunite with Ryan Tannehill, who is still a free agent at 36. They could go and grab him. I don't know if that's likely or not. And there's a handful of other quarterbacks on rosters with teams that are carrying three. You know, the Broncos are carrying three. They've got Nix and Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson. I don't think any of those are, you know, the Stidham or Wilson really get you excited. The Browns have three quarterbacks, but now with the Deshaun Watson situation, they're probably not going to, you know, move away from one of those three. So, you know, there are some options that are out there, but if it were me, if I were the Dolphins, I would have had a contingency plan in place. I would have wanted to make sure that my backup is somebody that I feel comfortable rolling with throughout the rest of the season. I have a hard time thinking that they're comfortable riding with Skylar Thompson.
So I think that they like Skylar Thompson.
I think they do too.
That's window dressing. I think they do.
You said it a few minutes ago. They're not a contender without Tua.
I didn't think they were a contender with Tua, but yes, this definitely makes them for sure not. Like, I wasn't in on them anyway, because I think they're too finesse to work in the postseason. But Skylar Thompson does have some traits, I think, that are similar to Tua, and I think that they, in the preseason, have seen things that they really love about Skylar Thompson. I have no issue rolling with Skylar Thompson this year if I'm the Dolphins, because they need to see what they've got there too. I don't know, none of this may change anything. Tua may recover and feel like he's fine and get right back out there, and that's his prerogative. I don't know what I would do if I was Tua. I have no idea if I was put in that situation what I would do. I don't know what Tua's family, sir. I don't know if he's married. I don't know if he has kids.
He's married. He's married. I think he has one son, young.
So that would obviously impact a decision. Yeah. And we'll see what he does. I don't know what he should do, but the Dolphins aren't going to be there in the end anyway. And it begs that question of the wide receiver investment. I want to talk about that because these teams get smashed for not signing these receivers over and over and over again. Let's look at the biggest contracts for wide receivers right now. And you tell me if you think those teams are actually Super Bowl contenders. We'll do that when we return. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. On the way out, let's set up our giveaway for the day. Some HTO for you. Text to win contest. You can win a free iced tea. You can win a free rain coffee. These will be good for the Derby location or either location in Wichita, east or west. All you got to do is text the keyword T to the short code 20357. That's a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, a free rain coffee, all kinds of iced and hot options. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. More Sports Daily. What in the world do we do with these high-paid receivers? That's next.
Back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. All Brockton Caster. We were talking about Thursday Night Football. Of course, a really sad situation with Tua Tagovailoa is the headliner of that game. Brady's on the line, wants to chime in on the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. Brady, welcome into Sports Daily. What's up?
Hey, good morning. Really enjoy the show.
Thanks.
Wanted to ask you about Tua. You know, you guys were referencing the fact that, that he'll make a decision. You know, and one of the things that kind of the reason for my call is, isn't this something where, you know, the organization, the Miami Dolphins, have a responsibility? A lot of times we have young athletes, maybe not in a concussion situation, but making decisions about their future. And we have to remember here, he has to pass a league physical, obviously. And I think even contractually, you get into a situation where if he fails a physical three times, he still gets paid. I know they have an insurance policy on his contract, but my point at this call is it's not just him making the decision. Obviously it's in conjunction with the team doctors and the Miami Dolphins. I think because we don't know as much about concussions as we do about say joints, you know, orthopedic stuff. I think the Miami Dolphins have a role in this as well. And while ultimately it might be through his decision at the end of the day, we have to remember though, it's made in unison with the organization, and he has to pass a physical, you guys. I mean, and that's a stringent one on concussions. The protocols were written very strict. In other words, Tua doesn't have the education and doesn't know how concussions work in exponential factors. You know, when you get one or two of them, it doesn't equal three. You're already the equivalent of 12 to 30 of them. In other words, the organization is going to play a huge role, and they have the responsibility, in some instances, to guide the young man on his future. And that's all I wanted to say. He'll get the money, and the organization, if they have their policy, and I think they do, there's a negotiation where everything settles out. So the organization does not lose all that money. They get it back.
Yeah.
Through an insurance policy.
And Brady, anyway. I want to jump in really quick because you're right as far as the organization should have a role in determining this. And I think that they, you know, probably will operate a little bit differently than they did a couple of years ago. But it wasn't that long ago, remember, that the Dolphins, like he went back into a game and it, you know, was the point to where I remember and I know this person is not affiliated with the organization. It's an independent neurologist was fired by the NFLPA. They exercised their right to fire that independent doctor because there wasn't, you know, the proper kind of, evaluation on to one of the very first concussions that he had. And ultimately, I know Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins organization at that time, I think it was back in 2022, they were subject to a lot of criticism from around the league because Tua continued to play. So I remember, I think it was maybe even on Christmas, maybe where he was back in a game just a couple of weeks after he had suffered a concussion. Then he had another one. And that was when he had the fencing, you know, motion with his hands and all of that. That was really scary, you know, to watch on TV and in the crowd. So I would hope that the organization would you know, work a little bit differently this time around, but they have not had the greatest track record.
I agree. It's a great point. And I do remember that when that happened, that I think that's important for the athlete to get an independent opinion as well.
Sure.
And before that, you can remember, we can go back to Howie Long. I remember when he played for the Raiders. He made a very funny comment. He said, you know, our orthopedic doctor can diagnose a bloody nose, you know, and that's why it's important. He was in L.A. at the time, which has some of the finest orthopedic surgeons in the world, to get an independent opinion on it. And I know Tua will. And I think what's happened, I think not just fans, but I think organizations have gotten better since that point. We're in our infancy stages. And you guys, I also want to remember, just point out, there was a movie that came out years ago, probably about 7 to 10 years ago, about Mike Webster. And for those that haven't seen it, Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, again, we're at the infancy stages of not concussions themselves, but how we treat them, and more importantly, how the league views them. So Tua's undersized. The Dolphins knew that when they signed this long-term contract. But know this, they're protected financially. Everybody is on that amount of money, and that Tua needs to get independent consultations. You know what I mean, collectively.
Sure.
And my point was, the organization has a responsibility. Now, whether they exercise that or not, they do.
They will this time.
Yeah, I agree. 2 or 3 years ago, you bring up a great point, and I do remember that. I was shocked. You know, sometimes you watch things on live TV, and you're like, "Is this real? You know, is this really going on right now?" You're almost, your body's not, you're not ready to process it. So let's hope he gets the medical treatment he deserves and makes a wise decision. So enjoy the show, you guys. Have a great one,
Brady. Thank you. Yeah, look, the Dolphins made a mistake. The problem is always there has to be a first time, and you have to learn from it. That was the time in the modern concussion.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Era. That was the one where everyone's like, what? So now the reaction will be very different. We're not going to see Tua for a while if we see him again. Yes, it needs to be done independently. Yes, he needs to be able to get educated decisions. Yes, he has a coach that's probably going to handle this the right way. And yes, the days of, you know, the barbarism, the barbarian style of football has passed us. This is why. And it's okay. And we have to adapt to it. The players have to adapt to it. The fans have to adapt to it. The teams have to adapt to it. But they have to have an opportunity to do it. And so they failed the first time around. I don't think they'll fail this time around. And again, it's Tua's decision to make. Now, if there are certain physicals and things that have to be passed, that obviously is policy. And that I'm saying, if all of that gets, you know, he gets through all of that, and over some period of time he will, then it's his decision to make. And I think we have to be comfortable with his decision to make. Pilots, you know, fighter jet pilots take a risk every time they go in the cockpit. People that work in mines take we all have
police officers, firefighters,
risk.
Like they're
correct.
The overall importance of what those people do,
it's not our decision to make.
You're totally right. But you know, I don't want to equate the importance of what a player playing a game is doing versus, you know, somebody else who's putting themselves in legitimate danger every single time that, you know, they go to work. There are a handful of really shocking injury moments in the NFL that I can recall being on live TV when a game is going on. You think of Joe Theismann snapping his leg. You think of Alex Smith snapping his leg. You think of Damar Hamlin collapsing on the field a couple of years ago. You think of Tua Tagovailoa. There's a little bit of irony here because Tua's helmet collided with Damar Hamlin's arm last night.
Right.
You know, so there's a little bit of irony with, you know, the two guys, because I mean, those are the Tua fencing motion on that Christmas Day game was shocking. and scary to watch. DeMar Hamlin collapsing on the field and having to be revived on the field was shocking. And then both of them are involved in this situation last night.
Not to get too philosophical either on the importance of what players do. He's devoted his entire life to this, right? This is it. This is what you've worked your entire life for. And the people that do have those jobs that are brutal and take it out from you, he provides them the opportunity to let go of some of that emotionally. So I don't want to totally discount the importance of what these guys do. I think too often we just say, oh, it's just a game. Not for everybody, it's not. Like, it's your life's work, and somebody else, it's their release from their own stress at work. So I hope he makes a good decision. I'm not going to say I hope he plays again. I'm not going to say I hope he doesn't play again. I hope he makes a good decision, and I hope that he's healthy in reaction to this specific instance. Thanks for the call, Brady. We appreciate it on the IHOP hotline. You can chime in if you'd like there. Okay, let's pivot here, because the Dolphins now, and I don't think, again, like, were the Dolphins contenders or not, it brings up this wide receiver issue, Tommy. And I'm going to go, there's been a lot of wide receivers paid lately. Chiefs are a team that has not done that. The Bills, who we just talked about, are a team that is not doing that clearly anymore. So I'm going to give the Ravens do not pay their receivers that way. Justin Jefferson just got his deal. The Vikings are not a Super Bowl contender this year. I mean, I think they'll be better than people think, so I don't want to totally discount it. And I'm not saying, by the way, on this conversation that I think these are bad decisions by organizations. I just think it's interesting that that's the market that's exploded. It is the deepest position in football. So we've got Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, Jaylen Waddle, Devontae Adams, DJ Moore. Those are some of the players that have been. Nico Collins just got paid again. Like, it's going to be a really interesting case study of the really good teams who are paying receivers. You have the Eagles and the 49ers, and the Lions, I suppose you could put in there. And then you have some that have made these decisions that we don't feel like are Super Bowl contenders. Devontae Adams. Maybe you think the Rams are a Super Bowl contender. I don't. Maybe you think the Seahawks are. I don't. The Commanders, no. So it'll be really interesting to see that as it plays out. As we just continue to watch that position, the running back markets have been so suppressed, but the wide receivers are taking off. And I would argue there's more good wide receivers than there ever have been. So we'll watch that. Let's get one more call in before we take a break, and we'll preview the Chiefs Bengals a little bit. Earl's on the line, wants to chime in on Sports Daily. Hey, Earl, what's up?
Hey, good morning. Real quick thing on Tua, all right? At Alabama, he was concussed. In 2022, he was concussed 3 times, right? And the information given to him, he made a grown man decision, I'm going to still play the game. Let me ask you this, and ask anybody, would they be willing to risk the head trauma and an unknown future? No one knows. I mean, if somebody sat him down and said, look, if you get one more, you're not going to be able to remember anybody's name. They don't know. It's kind of a moving target with concussions. But ask anybody, would you be willing for $55 million to go out there and give that risk? What do you think most people would say? Most people would say, well, no. Heck, I can take care of my family. I have $55 million. Are you kidding me?
But so, Earl, I would say this in counter to that, and I agree with you to some degree.
Please.
Do you already have $20 million in your pocket when they ask you that question?
Well, and that, very good, thank you. This is what I'm getting to. But he's a grown man, and he can make it. I mean, bull riders die and break things all the time. No one gets, we give guys weapons and send them overseas to go to war for pennies on the dollar, and we don't seem to have that concern. I think grown men can make grown decisions when you say someone's got to stop him. Well, you know, how many grown men really do what they don't want to do? Well, yeah, we're married, so we do it all the time. but the idea is, you know, saying, hey, we're not going to let you play because potentially you could get hurt. Yeah, well, potentially, there's a lot of professions in this world. The deadliest catch, man. They go on them crab boats, don't make $55 million. There's a lot of professions that you can end up injured on. I guess the big difference is it's not the only game on TV when we watch a guy go in the fence motion again. So yeah,
it's the risk and the health to the NFL. And I'm with you, Earl. It's to his decision to make. Again, he's got to pass all the protocols that are in place. But if he does and he wants to play, I will never say I'm just not going to judge his decision because it's his decision to make.
There you go. Very good. But in that regard,
the league also has a role in this, and they have different interests than just Tua deciding to play. And I think that's what makes it really complicated. What is the league's greatest fear, do you think? The two things on that. Somebody dies on the field. That's right. Or that
and the irony is Hamlin's the one who hit him last
night. I know.
It's
brutal. It's a brutal situation. But if Tua clears the protocols, then Tua can make his own decision, and I will hold no judgment on any decision that he makes because it's his decision to make. I mean, it just is. And so that's fine. But the league has a risk involved here, too. The league has – I don't want to call it an obligation because, I don't know how I feel about that. But they at least have a stake in the game of the risk he would take to go back out there. And I do think that's important, too, and will factor into things. But the same decision that Tua's can make his own decision and I won't have a problem with it. The league's got to make a decision, too. You know, because they have risk involved with him being out there at the same time, and that's their prerogative. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough thing to navigate through.
It's optics, right? NFL doesn't want to see that. But by the same token, all their health and safety thing, you know, the extra games makes them more money. So at the part there's a diminishing return on those things is when the league will put their foot down. Has nothing to do with the health and welfare of players. We've seen that over and over again. It's at the point it affects their bottom line. So the bottom line is, hey, it didn't look good. It wasn't cool. And there are probably some parents today going, man, I don't know what my kid putting a head in a pile. So, you know, but grown men should still, in this day in 2024, be able to make their decisions on legal ways of making a living. So you guys have a great weekend. Hopefully KU can figure out to run the ball. Take it out of Daniel's hands.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
They will. Unless they get behind early. Even if they do get behind early, they will. We'll get to that. We appreciate the call Earl and Brady. Two good calls, two well thought calls. And I think we're all on the right track with this. It's tough. It sucks. It's the worst part about football for sure. And hopefully we can navigate it and continue to just make our way through it. Let's talk about the Chiefs and the Bengals. Tommy tells me, because I was on the road literally all day the last 2 days, Tommy tells me there's been a little trash talking.
There always is from these teams.
Coming from the Bengals. I have not heard this. Tommy will enlighten me, and we'll react to it next on Sports Daily.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for always keeping us fueled up here. This is a portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Looking for a great place to watch the Chiefs game this weekend? You can go out to the Crestview Bar and Restaurant. Check it out. Check out the facilities. Set it up. Take a look. Tell them we sent you over here from Sports Daily. You can watch the Chiefs and the Bengals in the afternoon. You can also listen to that game, of course, over on KNSS, home of Chiefs football. Tommy? There's been trash talk you're telling me that I have been missing out on while driving the last 48 hours.
Yeah, I love the fact that you don't know what has been said. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to set up both of them, and I want you to tell me which one you think is more ludicrous or more ridiculous. So we're going to start with Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr always likes to talk before Bengals and Chiefs games. He was asked the question after practice yesterday about whether he believes that the Bengals are still the team to beat in the AFC. His quote was, "Everybody knows that, bro. It's not if. We are the team to beat in the AFC, and we know it, and we got to play like it too." Then, that's number one. Okay. Then one of their cornerbacks in the secondary, Cam Taylor-Britt, was also asked after practice yesterday what he thought about the qualities that Xavier Worthy adds to the Kansas City offense. His quote was, "Speed, that's about it. He can run straight, run jet sweeps, and just run straight. He can't do too much else, so that's about it."
Yeah, the second one's far more stupid. The first one doesn't bother me at all. I don't have any problem with Ja'Marr Chase saying, yeah, we're the team to beat. We got to play better. No issue there whatsoever. The second one, why? Like, why do you do that? Why do you just invite the Chiefs to now try and go out and target you? You better be able to back that up. And even if you can back it up, even if there was a strategic, like, we're going to goat them into something here, right? Like, we're going to make them take a risk and we're going to be ready for it, which I could appreciate if the Bengals didn't look like dog crap in the first week of the season. Like, you're not there yet, offensively, defensively, anywhere. You just let the Patriots beat you at your place. So let's chill with all that. The Ja'Marr Chase thing, no problem with it at all. That's fine. But yeah, don't give the Chiefs a reason to come at you. I mean, lock it in for a worthy touchdown. Now is what you feel like when you watch that as a fan. We'll see if he backs.
Well, I'm not only the touchdown, but I'm looking at the line for his receiving yards. And yeah, the line right now is at 44.5. I mean, pound the over. Yards.
I would look at total yards more than receiving yards. And it's going to probably be like 60. But just in case, right? Just in case he only gets a handful of touches, you want every touch to count. But yes, that will be something I look at. And it's not even a worthy thing. It's a Mahomes thing. Mahomes hates that stuff. Like, now he's going to make it a point to go do something with worthy. It's because that's what he does. That's what we love, right?
Going back to what Chase said, I mean, I know your answer already, but I'm just going to ask, do you agree with him? Are they the team to beat in the AFC?
No.
I mean, I don't think so at all.
No, I don't agree with him, but that doesn't really matter. I would, if I was a coach, I would want my players to think that. I would want you to think you're the best. I would want you to have that confidence.
Right
so,
now.
So, no, he's not right now, but I don't have a problem.
As far as futures are concerned, if you do agree with Ja'Marr Chase, if anybody does, I mean, it's not a bad time to take them to win the conference if they're the team to beat
what
in the AFC.
What is their odds?
They're plus 950. They are the sixth highest odds in the conference behind the Jets. The Jets are above them. The Bills, the Texans, the Ravens, and the Chiefs.
They're above the Jets. I mean, look, they'll be playing. If Joe Burrow's healthy, they're going to be playing a whole lot better by the end of the year. That's actually not a terrible bet. I will reserve that they are a massive threat to the Chiefs in an individual playoff game because of who they have at quarterback. Like, they are a threat.
If he's healthy.
That's an interesting, if he's healthy, right. Yeah, that's the factor in what makes a futures bet hard. All right, and I guess he's been holding his water bottle strangely or something. Chiefs are 6-point. We're going to pick that game as well as the two games tonight. Six total games. Paul Savage, TJ Cleland will be in. Jad has Brandon's picks. Jad has receipts that I wish he would lose. But he has them, and we'll come back and we'll pick those games. I'm going to hop in the car. I'm going to jump on the video stream here remotely. Tommy's going to lead this thing, but we'll get those connections made, and we will rejoin you on the other side with our picks. Sure to fail. Don't go away on Sports Daily.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.